This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Senate debates Sunday into Monday on President Trump's mega bill of tax and spending priorities. Among those speaking, GOP Senator Tom Tillis of North Carolina.
Now, Republicans are about to make a mistake on health care and betraying a promise.
President Trump blasted Tillis in a lengthy social media post and threatened to support primary challengers against him, but then Tillis announced he wasn't running again anyway. A shooting in New York's Greenwich Village just hours after the end of the Pride Parade there, leaving two people injured, one critically Sunday night, just blocks from the Stonewall Inn. The suspected gunman who fatally ambushed firefighters in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho on Sunday has been found dead. That according to the county sheriff, which says SWAT team members found the man with a firearm nearby. It comes after an ambush that left two firefighters dead and an hours-long multi-agency manhunt in the area. This is ABC News. The Canadian government saying that President Trump and Canadian Prime Minister Carney agreed that the U.S. and Canada would resume trade negotiations between the two countries with a view toward agreeing on a deal by July 21st. At the same time, the Canadian government announced it would rescind the digital services tax in anticipation of a mutually beneficial comprehensive trade agreement. Ongoing debate over potential changes for kids' vaccination schedules. An advisory committee, hand-selected by HHS Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr., voting Thursday to recommend against flu vaccines containing the preservative thimerosal. Dr. Fiona Havras resigned from the CDC this month, and she was on ABC's This Week.
They're now saying that they're going to go and look back at safe and effective vaccines that have settled science, have had thorough review, and potentially remove those from the recommendations. That means that it could potentially cut off access and cut off insurance coverage for these vaccines.
Dave Packer, ABC News.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Indy Duttagupta, he is with the Center for Law and Social Policy.
The Trump administration's agenda is reducing economic growth. The programs that they're proposing cutting, like Medicaid and SNAP, especially for kids, actually more than pay for themselves. So we are really looking at a tough long-term economic outlook entirely created by the current policymakers.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
The Brewers head to New York. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers on their way to Queens, New York, where they'll face the Mets tomorrow night. The crew losing to the Rockies yesterday, 4-3 in 11 innings. The game began with Rockies manager Warren Schaefer and batter Tyler Freeman arguing with the umpire about balls and strikes, both ejected. I asked Brewers pitcher Chad Patrick how it went for him.
That first inning was definitely a grind. I felt like I was making good pitches, just trying to get rewarded a little bit, how close they were. Said something, you know, go on from there, but he ended up being right.
Basketball, the Milwaukee Bucks have reached a new 3-year deal with Bobby Portis Jr. worth as much as $44 million. Head coach Doc Rivers.
Listen, Bobby, he's been fantastic. Every night he gives us something defensively with his hands and his rebound.
And former Buck Malik Beasley, now with the Pistons, under investigation for gambling. Beasley accused of betting on NBA games 2 years ago while with Milwaukee. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Scattered showers and thunderstorms tonight. We'll see a low around 67. For Monday, a few scattered storms, otherwise partly sunny with a high near 82. Monday night, clearing out, a low around 62. Lots of sun for Tuesday. We'll see highs in the low 80s.
Currently, 69 degrees. Teach Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I talk Action Wisconsin and film incentives with Jeffrey Kurz and Nathan Deming. And Kurt Newman of the legendary Bodines joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Matt Nair on air.
From articles that I have seen, if you are a bagel purist, you should not toast your bagel. I think nothing's better than a toasted bagel and a schmear.
Folks, can we have a moment of honesty? Do you really like bagels, or do you like the schmear that is transported by them? Get rid of the stigma. If I walk into this room eating cream cheese out of a tub with a spoon.
Why is that wrong?
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
When Republicans try to be cute, they always end up looking like Wile E. Coyote in the old cartoons. Governor Evers is the Roadrunner, and his veto pen is the Acme anvil that keeps getting dropped on their heads. If what they want to do over the next few weeks is not pass a state budget, it would be best for them to get one of those tiny cartoon umbrellas to guard against another Acme anvil that voters are going to drop on their heads.
Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people, this is the Maggie Dawn Show.
It is this moment right now, and we need people that have wealth and access to step the hell up.
Get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
We can't take this as a country to have a leader who is so ill-informed and we look terrible.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
You got a bad sandwich at your favorite deli. What do you do about it? We can talk about whatever you want to sound off on.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth. Here is Maggie Dawn.
This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the broadcast stations of Civic Media. My name is Jim Santel, and yes, for this hour and next hour as well on this Friday in late June of 2025, I'm going to be sitting in for Maggie and assuming the responsibilities of providing insight and information, direction and inspiration, as Maggie always does in her weekly show, about those major issues that are affecting our lives and our livelihoods here in Wisconsin, throughout the United States of America, and indeed across our planet. Like Maggie, I am delighted. I am honored that you're spending some time this Friday afternoon with me and also with my terrific producer. His name is Jacob, and he is with me here in the broadcast studio in Racine. Delighted and honored to have you with me and with Jacob. And you can be a part of our discussion this hour and next hour as well. The phone number to call in to be a part of our program is 855-752-4842. Once again, that's 855-752-4842 here on the Maggie Dawn Show, broadcast stations of Civic Media. It is a significant day, a very important day in the history of the United States of America. All of us affected by what is going on, not only locally in our state house in Madison, certainly in the United States government in Washington, D.C., especially today. We are thoughtful about the fact that our United States Supreme Court has issued just today six more opinions, six of them following equal numbers in recent days and weeks, bringing to just over 60, 6-0, the number of cases, the number of decisions that they have issued to all of us in this, the 2024-2025 term of the United States Supreme Court. We are going to be spending a lot of time this hour and next hour also taking your questions, your comments about what the Supreme Court has done on these cases, including focusing specially upon this major case, arguably involving birthright citizenship, but in fact, in fact, talking a whole lot about the authorities of the President of the United States of America to issue executive orders and the capacities now limited as of several hours ago for federal district court judges and appellate court judges as well to restrict on a national universal basis the decisions of our president. We'll talk about the major consequences of this decision coming out of the Supreme Court today. The case is Trump versus CASA, C-A-S-A, a decision 6-3 by a majority of our United States Supreme Court. We'll talk about exactly what the majority said. We will spend a lot of time as well talking about what the minority said as well, because we do have three dissenting justices who give us some perspective, as does the majority. That majority opinion written by Amy Coney Barrett. The dissenters also giving us some insight into how to understand what the Supreme Court has done today. We'll also make reference, although not complete reference, to many of the other cases just decided today. Also important to our geography and our lives here in Wisconsin and throughout the United States as well. We have got a lot of things going on in this, the Maggie Dawn Show, this hour and next hour as well. Some programming notes right at the top, and that is that in our second section, the third and fourth segments of our broadcast on this Friday afternoon, I'm going to be joined by a colleague and a friend of mine. His name is John Vaudrey. He is the former United States Attorney for the Western District of Wisconsin. John is going to join me in those third and fourth segments of this first hour, not only to talk about some of these issues, but most specifically to talk about his involvement with a group called Keep Our Republic, and in particular, the work that particular entity, that agency is doing to push back on, yes, indeed, it's back again, challenges to the 2020 election. John is going to be joining me in those third and fourth segments of this hour, not only to talk about what he is doing now with CORE, the Keep Our Republic entity, but also why this is such an important issue, even today, 5 years after the 2020 election. Why is that so very important to understand? And where does this come from? Where is the genesis once again to reattack the 2020 election results? We'll talk about exactly where that comes from, including this administration and this Department of Justice and this White House. John is going to be joining me for a couple of segments later in this hour. I should also mention that this coming weekend, both on Saturday and Sunday, some special editions, some special incorporations of Amicus, a law review, which is the two-hour broadcast that I typically do on weekends, talking about all things related to the rule of law and justice and the delivery of justice in America. Two special programs, one of them on Saturday from 9 to 11. That's a live program. We're going to be analyzing, of course, all the Supreme Court cases from this past term, analyzing in particular 12 of them over the period of Saturday. And yes, indeed, then Sunday as well, another live new content program from 2 to 4 right here on the broadcast stations of Civic Media. That happening again Sunday from 2 to 4. That time, that period, also dealing with 12 of the 60 or so decisions that the Supreme Court has issued in this term, including some of them that we are going to be talking about, taking your calls about, even in this two-hour broadcast segment coming up right now. I should also mention that this is that time of day when you can participate in Free Ticket Friday. It is Free Ticket Friday here on the broadcast stations of Civic Media. All you need to do is to give me the word at least two to three times, maybe just one time. That's all you need to do. You have to go into the Civic Media app. You can download it for free in your app store, and you can win a 4-pack of tickets to the Sunday game of the Milwaukee Brewers against the Colorado Rockies right here in Milwaukee. It takes place beginning at 1:10. That's the start time here in Milwaukee. You get club-level seating, a 4-pack set of tickets, and you've got until 5 o'clock to text the Free Ticket Friday word. You can do it once. You can do it multiple times if you like. Text that word of the hour into the Civic Media free Ticket Friday app. We're giving away tickets all of this hour. And indeed, Civic Media is going to be doing this every Friday all summer long. What is that all-important word? What do you need to text into the Civic Media app? Here it is. Here's the important word, the word that will get you tickets if you indeed are the lucky recipient of the set of four-pack tickets to the Sunday game, Milwaukee Brewers versus Colorado Rockies, 1:10 start time. Here's the word. Write it down. It's real simple. It's three particular letters of our alphabet. The word, here it is, it's fly, F-L-Y. And you can enter that word right now in the Civic Media app, downloading it from your app store. Participate in our opportunity to get those four packs of tickets to that Sunday game. Club level seating, good seats coming in here from Civic Media. You've got until 5 o'clock, about 45 minutes or so, to text the free Ticket Friday word of the hour. Once again, that word is fly. It's fly, and we're going to be giving away tickets, those tickets, again, in this hour, every Friday. Every Friday here, free Ticket Friday here on the broadcast stations of Civic Media. One more time, the word for today, Friday, June 27th, which you should text in and get into our Civic Media app, is fly, F-L-Y. Join our program not only for that reason, but also for the discussion we are about to have on these major issues facing America today. The word once again, fly, and best wishes to everybody for not only this particular event, this particular opportunity, but also as we think about America, we think about the United States and ponder this weekend and next weekend, of course, the 249th anniversary of our nation. Best wishes to all of us as we observe that important milestone in our nation's history. That is the Declaration of Independence 249 years ago this coming week, heading to the 250th anniversary of our nation next year at this same time. We, of course, will be talking a lot about Independence Day, our observance of that coming up on the broadcast stations of Civic Media, on this program, The Maggie Dawn Show, and on others, including the programs coming up on Amicus, a law review, this coming weekend and next weekend as well. I've already indicated that the subject matter for those two special broadcasts this coming weekend, Saturday, 9 to 11, and Sunday, 2 to 4, to the 4 o'clock in the afternoon, all about the Supreme Court cases, what they said, what the significance of them is and remains for all of us. We know that those cases include things like, yes, indeed, this birthright citizenship case, the import of national injunctions no longer accessible to district court and appellate court judges. We'll talk about LGBT books in the public classrooms. We'll talk about age verification for adult sites. We'll talk about a preventive care task force that the Supreme Court addressed again just today, transition care for trans youth, reverse discrimination policies, gun maker liability, more issues coming up this weekend as well related to the religious charter schools and the capacity for them to participate in the benefits of public recognition. We'll talk about excessive force by police entities. We'll talk about regulation of flavored vaping devices. We'll talk about ghost guns, TikTok, and national security. And yes, indeed, race and gerrymandering, congressional gerrymandering. All of those things and more have been on the docket of our United States Supreme Court for this past term. We're going to be selecting about 10, maybe 12 cases altogether, including many of those that were just announced this morning from the United States Supreme Court. We'll be talking about all of those issues that the Supreme Court has addressed in the past several months. We'll talk about the consequences of those, what the justices have said, what they did not say. And in many cases,
The disputes much on display as the members of the Supreme Court spar with each other about how these cases should be decided. Many of them by the 6-3 split in our Supreme Court that we know all too well. Some of those cases decided by a 9-0 unanimous Supreme Court. We'll talk about those as well. All of that coming up this weekend, 9-11 on Amicus, a law review tomorrow, and 2-4 Sunday. As we come back here on the Maggie Dawn Show, we're going to talk more about that major decision having to do with birthright citizenship and national jurisdiction and national injunctions as the Maggie Dawn Show continues right here on the broadcast stations of Civic Media.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
The Todd Allball Show.
The Joint Finance Committee was leaked that they intend to cut $87 million from the university system budget. And so we put this out on our socials last night. And today, the Joint Finance Committee decided to pull that from the agenda. Because apparently, from what I'm told, Republican legislators got a lot of calls. When the truth is disseminated and people react, results can happen.
The Todd Allball Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app. Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on lacrosseeagle.com/contest-terms. Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
This is the Maggie Dawn Show. My name is Jim Santel, sitting in for Maggie this afternoon, this hour, and next hour as well. I am joined here in the Civic Media Studios by my terrific producer. His name is Jacob. Together, we are taking your phone calls this hour and next hour. That phone number, 855-752-4842. Once again, that's 855-752-4842. You're going to want to be a part of our discussion because we indeed are talking about some very important issues today. In the third and fourth segments of this hour, I'm going to be joined by my former colleague and continuing great friend, partner for many years together in the U.S. Department of Justice. His name is John Vaudrey. He's going to come on the air and talk with all of us about his work right now and as he has done in the past to preserve democracy, specifically his affiliation with a group called Keep Our Republic. And he's going to come on and talk with us about The latest attacks on the 2020 election, the race, why it is important, where it's coming from, and what we need to do to push back on this notion that somehow our elections in America are the subjects, the products of fraud. John is going to be joining me in just a few minutes to talk about all that. And you can ask him questions as well. Again, that phone number, 855-752-4842. We invite your comments, your observations, especially about the discussion that I'm going to begin right now, and that is among the six cases that the Supreme Court issued just hours ago, is this major case involving arguably on the surface birthright citizenship, but it turns out that's not what the Supreme Court decided. They specifically decided not to decide whether or not the president's position on the 14th Amendment, his executive order of the first day of his presidency, was legitimate or not. Instead, they issued an order that is far beyond just this issue related to that executive order. They described the now limited ability, the capacity of federal district court judges, of federal appellate court judges, to issue what are called universal or nationwide injunctions across the board. We know what this issue is all about. We've talked about it in the past. Where does it come up? How does it percolate here in this particular instance? Well, we know once again that the 14th Amendment of the Constitution seemed for at least 150 years, ever since it was passed in July of 1868, it says all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the states wherein they reside. There's more to the 14th Amendment, of course. We typically think of the 14th Amendment in terms of its basic core guarantees about due process and equal protection. Instead, since January 20th, we've been talking about that first sentence of the amendment, and in particular, the president's invocation of this notion that somehow the phrase subject to the jurisdiction thereof does not mean and excludes people who are not within his definition of born in the United States of America. Once again, Supreme Court taking that on based upon the lower courts from a number of them, three in particular affirmed by appellate courts, telling the president that indeed his executive order limiting birthright citizenship in ways that we have never seen before, unconstitutional, overturning, rejecting, rescinding what the president has done, ultimately prompting the president through the Department of Justice to appeal those lower court decisions to the United States Supreme Court. And sure enough, today, after an oral argument of a number of weeks ago, in which the Supreme Court was plainly somewhat divided, difficult to identify with great particularity exactly how they would come down on this. But in the end, the Supreme Court today limiting the ability of federal judges across the board, across the nation, to temporarily pause the president's executive orders, including this one related to birthright citizenship, goes far beyond just this particular order. The justices, once again, significantly did not make a ruling. They almost bent over backwards to say we are not specifically identifying our position on whether or not the Constitution of the United States of America should be interpreted in the way that indeed it has been interpreted for well over 100 years. We know, in fact, that the Supreme Court has in the past, in a case called Wong Kim Ark, way back in 1898, justices determining at that time that Mr. Wong, who was the petitioner in that case, born in San Francisco to Chinese citizens, was indeed an American citizen. Why? Because he was born in the United States of America. Anyone born on U.S. soil is a citizen, regardless of the immigration status of their parents. That's the proposition that the president has rejected. And today, once again, the Supreme Court did not specifically affirm the president's position, but neither did it affirm what it has said ever since 1898. And frankly, in situations before then, instead, as of today, the United States Supreme Court saying that we are going to not just limit, but restrict the capacity of federal district court judges to impose these injunctive orders nationwide, making them applicable beyond perhaps just the plaintiffs before them in a particular case, beyond the specific jurisdiction of the districts in which they're presiding. They stopped this order. They stopped the president's order and the implementation of all this from taking effect for 30 days. But along the way, saying that after that 30-day period, once again, the nationwide injunctions will no longer hold. The 6-3 decision in this case, written by Justice Amy Coney Barrett, splitting among ideological lines, right down the, not the middle, but along ideological lines. We know well how those typically play out. The ruling means, again, that the practice of giving citizenship automatically to the U.S.-born children of undocumented immigrants and some temporary residents and visitors would end in the 28 states that have not challenged this order. We'll talk more about that, and we'll take our specific interview guest. His name is John Vaudrey, coming up next here on The Maggie Dawn Show.
Eagle, 1490 AM. As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Senate debates Sunday into Monday on President Trump's mega bill of tax and spending priorities. Among those speaking, GOP Senator Tom Tillis of North Carolina.
Now, Republicans are about to make a mistake on health care and betraying a promise.
President Trump blasted Tillis in a lengthy social media post and threatened to support primary challengers against him, but then Tillis announced he wasn't running again anyway. A shooting in New York's Greenwich Village just hours after the end of the Pride Parade there, leaving two people injured, one critically Sunday night, just blocks from the Stonewall Inn. The suspected gunman who fatally ambushed firefighters in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho on Sunday has been found dead. That according to the county sheriff, which says SWAT team members found the man with a firearm nearby. It comes after an ambush that left two firefighters dead and an hours-long multi-agency manhunt in the area. This is ABC News.
The Brewers head to New York. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers on their way to Queens, New York, where they'll face the Mets tomorrow night. The crew losing to the Rockies yesterday, 4-3 in 11 innings. The game began with Rockies manager Warren Schaefer and batter Tyler Freeman arguing with the umpire about balls and strikes, both ejected. I asked Brewers pitcher Chad Patrick how it went for him.
That first inning was definitely a grind. I felt like I was making good pitches, just trying to get rewarded a little bit, how close they were. Said something, you know, go on from there, but he ended up being right.
Basketball, the Milwaukee Bucks have reached a new 3-year deal with Bobby Portis Jr. worth as much as $44 million. Head coach Doc Rivers.
Listen, Bobby, he's been fantastic. Every night he gives us something defensively with his hands and his rebound.
And former Buck Malik Beasley, now with the Pistons, under investigation for gambling. Beasley accused of betting on NBA games 2 years ago while with Milwaukee. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Attention, avid readers, if there are still any left. You can never have enough psychological thrillers, as far as I'm concerned. And thanks to Amazon, there is a new one on the way based on a best-selling book. The streamer has purchased rights to Freda McFadden's The Tenant, which has been atop the New York Times bestseller chart for 7 weeks. The story follows Blake Porter, a marketing executive who loses his job and takes in a boarder to help make ends meet. You can imagine how that goes. Tough to find a good roommate, much less one who won't try to kill you. If you haven't been to Summerfest yet but have been meaning to go, you still have time. One more weekend, to be specific. The third and final weekend of one of the world's biggest music festivals kicks off again this Thursday, July 3rd. This upcoming weekend's music lineup includes Benson Boone, Fountains of Wayne, Social Distortion, John Oates, Without Hall, that doesn't seem right, Everclear, and the Lumineers. Hot fun in the summertime. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew,
This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Scattered showers and thunderstorms tonight. We'll see a low around 67. For Monday, a few scattered storms, otherwise partly sunny with a high near 82. Monday night, clearing out, a low around 62. Lots of sun for Tuesday. We'll see highs in the low 80s.
Currently, 69 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Indy Duttagupta, he is with the Center for Law and Social Policy.
The Trump administration's agenda is reducing economic growth. The programs that they're proposing cutting, like Medicaid and SNAP, especially for kids, actually more than pay for themselves. So we are really looking at a tough long-term economic outlook entirely created by the current policymakers.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
This is what I love, Madison. There's so many weird things. Bennett's Meadowwood Country Club, which is a bar and not a country club, they have an event called Smut and Eggs. You show up for eggs and you watch a porn film while you eat breakfast. I have trouble watching a PG-13 movie when I eat breakfast. It's more of a dinner thing, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe a nice group orgy and some pasta.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Take a look back at the weekend headlines with Pat Kreitlow, Trigby Olson, and State Senator Kelder Royce on what's happening in the Joint Finance Committee. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the broadcast stations of Civic Media. Delighted for the next portions of this hour to be joined, yes, remotely, but joined nonetheless by a great lifetime friend of mine, a colleague of mine. His name is John Vaudry, and he's joining us remotely to talk with us about something that's happened recently. He's prompted by the fact that recently the administration, yes, this administration, called for a special prosecutor to investigate once again the 2020 election. Repeating, I say with a sigh, those debunked claims of massive fraud in the 2020 election. Well, it turns out that my good friend and colleague for many years, John Vaudry, is not only addressing those kinds of unsupported allegations, but also across the nation, working with a group, a wonderful group called COR, K-O-R, Keep Our Republic. John Vaudry is joining me now. I will tell you a little bit more about him by way of introduction. John is a lawyer. Yes, once again, like Maggie, like me, he's a lawyer as well. John is also a graduate of the University of Wisconsin-Madison undergrad and the University of Wisconsin Law School. He was an assistant United States attorney, just like me, for many, many years, since January of 1980. And like me, John had the distinction, the honor of being named by a president named Barack Obama, serving under an attorney general named Eric Holder as the chief federal law enforcement officer for the Western District of Wisconsin throughout the term of Barack Obama and Eric Holder. John joins me now here on the Maggie Dawn Show. John, welcome to our broadcast. Thank you so much for being a part of our discussion this afternoon.
Thanks, Jim. I'm glad to be here. These are the times that warrant discussion.
Absolutely. Again, appreciate your contributions. Let's get right into this. I mentioned, correct me if I'm wrong, that once again, the administration has suggested that the 2020 election was, in fact, the result of fraud and has called for a special prosecutor. Tell us more about that. What's going on here? I thought we were done with all this, weren't we, John? 60 cases. Why are we back once again talking about this, my friend?
Well, the why is an interesting question, but you're right that we are talking about it, Jim. Once again, the president and people who are following him talk about, as you alluded to, massive and overwhelming evidence that the election of 2020 was stolen. Despite the fact that, of course, lawsuits were filed, no evidence was presented, Courts found no evidence of fraud. Independent audits were done. Lots of money was spent. There's thousands of prosecutors across this country. Nobody found evidence to bring criminal charges. But despite that, the president has decided that he wants to stir the pot once again on that issue.
And calling upon our former agency, apparently, to investigate this, right? It is stunning. John, obviously, you are among the most experienced prosecutors, and I will say also teachers and academics out there. You advocate routinely. You indicated to me that recently you've been even beyond the borders of our nation talking about democracy. Tell me more about, again, your commitment and your very clear sense already implicit in what you've said, that our elections are secure, that there is no widespread fraud, nothing to support that at all, and the work that you're doing with Keep Our Republic to push back on the notion that something would be just the opposite. Your views about whether this really is a legitimate issue that we should be resuming once again to address?
Let me start with, as I think a good appellate lawyer would, a direct answer to your final question. No, I don't believe it is worth our time, worth our money, and there's great danger to this idea that we are now going to replow and look for all the supposed fraud from 2020. Let me tell you how I come into this, at least. Obviously, like you, I have a long career prosecuting cases. I might say to everybody that in 38 years in the U.S. Attorney's Office, thereabouts, and I think you could probably count on less than five fingers the number of referrals we had.
Yes.
For fraud. Usually somebody who thought their rights had been restored after getting out of a short prison term or something like that. Never any prosecutions, but in Wisconsin to speak of. What Keep Our Republic does, and the reason I joined when they asked me to in 23, they're nonpartisan. They're only at this point in Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, the three battleground states, as we all know. And what Keep Our Republic tries to do, and really is nonpartisan, and I don't say that lightly because it's pretty hard to be that these days. We tried to do sort of grassroots, reaching out, community engagement, community events, and talk about how elections work, specifically in Wisconsin, but similar events taking place in Michigan and Pennsylvania. Trying to remind people of how trusted our election process is, to restore trust if we need to build more trust in the elections. And that ultimately is why I wanted to get involved, is most of our work, as you remember, Jim, was really on voting rights. When laws were passed that made it more difficult and against the law to vote for, maybe you're disabled, maybe you're elderly, maybe you're a student, so on and so forth. This is different because Keep Our Republic really focuses on what happens the morning the polls open up through the certification of those votes in Washington in federal elections. And so we really have tried to do that. The reason I want to speak out on this specific issue, which one might think, well, that has nothing to do with the next election. I think the real danger, and I want people to really think about this, the real danger of this call for a special prosecutor is that it causes people once again to not trust the voting process.
Yes, right.
And if people don't trust, if they don't trust the voting process, we got a big load of problems.
Right.
So
John,
leading aside,
ma'am, and let me take you up on that issue and have you talk more about the extent to which, what you just mentioned, which is, again, from the time those polls open here in Wisconsin, other states as well, you mentioned Michigan, Pennsylvania, other places, until they close at 8 o'clock, and then the counting that goes on after that. Give us some of the information that you've put together through CORE about the honesty of the clerks, the paper ballots, the ways in which they're counted, the rigorous voting ID laws that we have, both for registration and for counting ballots as well. All of that open to the public. We've got observers. We've got people to make sure this is very transparent. Give me some information, more of that, about how it is that our system is maybe not completely airtight, but when we identify a problem, that too is identified and rectified. Give me some practical sense, as you were just saying, about the extent to which our voting processes here in the state of Wisconsin and other places is incredibly, incredibly tight and has a huge amount of integrity.
Yeah, and I will focus just on Wisconsin. While I have some familiarity now with Michigan and Pennsylvania, it's not enough to speak intelligently, which I'll try and do. First of all, let's just talk about presidential elections. There's no really such thing as a federal. It's a federal election.
Right.
It's all run under state laws and locally. There really isn't much federal election law, and people should understand that. So let's talk specifically about why it works so well in Wisconsin. First and foremost, we have the most decentralized election system in the country. And by that, I mean, with great pleasure, we have about 1,800 clerks running our elections. Mm. We see there's 72 county clerks who really oversee things, but the elections are really run by city, town, village. You know, I live in Madison where there's a clerk. Dane County has a clerk. Madison has a clerk. But I also have a place where we spend a lot of time in the little teeny township of Sand Lake outside of Hayward.
Yes. Beautiful place, right? Right.
Yeah, right. Exactly. The township of Sand Lake has a clerk who, you know, collects your taxes and does other things, but also runs the vote for maybe a couple hundred people. So I want people to keep that in mind. Because the security of our system starts with the fact that it is run by such a large, diverse group of people. The idea that you can fix it and run in fake ballots with all these different people, men, women, Republicans, Democrats, independents. So that's first and foremost. The second thing that people have to remember that we tried to do in every community republic, keep our republic community event, we brought in the clerks. We brought in election administrators from the Wisconsin Election Commission as well. And one of the first questions usually is, well, but they're all of our votes are going into machine. It's all going to be.
Yes, right.
Okay. Every vote you make in Wisconsin is a paper ballot. The machine is simply a counting machine. They're not hooked up to the internet. They're just a big old counter. And so once again, in terms of fixing the system or creating some sort of fraud, it's all paper ballots in Wisconsin. It can all be counted. There's a backup. The third thing I think people need to know is we have, of the 50 states, if not the most, one of the most rigorous identification laws that you have to, what you have to have to register on the day of voting or before, what you have to have to vote. And people who are listening will vote know that. You've got to show IDs and things. But it is much more difficult here. But in the subject we're talking about today, difficulty also means security. So the election, and the chance that some undocumented alien is going to walk in the door and try to vote in any sort of sizable numbers, at least, is really just simply impossible. The last point I want to make that I think is important is, and you already alluded to this whole process is transparent. When your clerk decides we're going to use a voting machine, they'll have two or three of them there to test. That's open to the public. You
right.
can go watch these machines. You can take a look at them. As you said, Jim, we have election observers. There's a very, very big process for this where both parties and others can be there observing votes. They can challenge voters. So all of these processes are in place in Wisconsin. And if you think, well, it's going to be, you know, there's going to be fraud committed, just ask yourself, how the heck would that happen?
Right, right.
It's really, really very difficult.
Right. And I will tell you, John, that again, I know you're on the ground to do much of this. I also, for the past several years, now that we're no longer working with the government, we can do these kinds of things. I work as a poll worker in my particular area in Brookfield, Wisconsin, and I can reaffirm with absolute clarity exactly all of what you just said. Not only is it transparent, there are all these redundancies. There are assurances that you've got human checks and balances throughout the day. And indeed,
need, I know this is a part of your presentation also through Keep Our Republic. If, in fact, at the end of the day, something doesn't reconcile, the computer number is off by one, off the hand number, off the book number, all these different accountings, you know what we do? We track down that not errant, but that additional number somehow, so that arithmetically we've got an absolute clarity on the notion that every single vote has been counted, and we've got certainty as to all of that. John, I'm going to ask you to stay with me for our next segment as well. I've got more questions about CORE, about your involvement in this, and what we should do going forward as Americans, not only to ensure the integrity of our system, which remains